Welcome to St. Philip's Chapel Street. You're listening to an audio podcast of our Sunday preach. We really hope it encourages you and draws you closer to Jesus. If you want to know more about St. Philip's, you can find us online at stphillips.org.uk or on social media at SP Chapel Street.
Acts 16, 25, starting at 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake. There was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the words of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. This man was at such a low place that his job was the most important thing to him at this point, to the point that failing to do his job would lead him to take his own life, to try and take his own life. But this is when I really love one of the definitions that I gave before. The ability to motivate others to respond to the truth by providing timely words of counsel, encouragement, and consolation. Being able to speak into somebody's life is such an amazing thing, but to be able to do it in a time when they need to hear it the most, that's like a whole nother kettle of fish. This jailer had been saved physically and now desperately wanted to be saved spiritually. And Paul and Silas were given the most perfect opportunity to counsel this man. To preach to him the good news of Jesus. If it had been any other moment, he might have just shrugged them off and not cared for what they had to say. But because it was within God's timing, the jailer's life and the lives of the people in his household were transformed. Personally, I believe that this gift is not one that should be used solely by itself. I think it's too powerful of a gift to be a standalone. And I don't mean that in the sense of, "Oh, I'm so mighty, listen to what I say," kind of way. But when you're urging someone or you're inciting someone to do something, there's normally a fair deal of passion behind it. And you'd hope that passion is rooted in God and the Bible, like for Silas and Paul. They made it so clear that everything was to honor God. Before the earthquake, they were singing praises to God. Even in a time of weakness and oppression, they were still focused on God. This is when the gifts of teaching and knowledge and wisdom come to play a really important part. There's a level of understanding of the word of God and the ability to explain God's word to others for them to be able to learn and grow that I think is needed to make the gift of exhortation work well or work effectively. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is a fantastic example of this. It takes you on a journey where he's encouraging, counseling, and warning the people listening on how they should be living. And it's all founded in truth, to glorify God and to lead them down a righteous path. Honestly, I could have a full-on conversation about how I think the Sermon on the Mount is just the most beautiful thing ever, but I'm not going to do that. We can have a conversation afterwards if you really want to. But there are tons of people who have giftings and talents and abilities that are just waiting to be used to glorify God, but have no idea what it is or what that thing is inside them. And if we have the ability to call that out of people, we should take it and encourage them to do great things for God We should do it with authority, like Jesus modeled. But like I said, I feel like it's a pretty powerful gift to be able to wield. And you know what they say, with great power comes great responsibility. And this is where I think the intent behind the encouragement is really vital. I'm not gonna lie, when I was writing this, I was really struggling, because when I was looking up the definitions, I was really struck by the synonyms and the thought of where is the line between where what we're saying is encouraging and then it becomes pressuring? And are we shifting the gift of encouragement into a curse of pressure? And I know nearly every time we say something to someone, to do something for God, it's because we know that they can do it, or we have a really strong gut feeling that they'll be able to do it well. But sometimes we forget to stop and listen to what the person can handle at that time. We might try and motivate them, but it might not be within God's timing. Or if we're warning or rebuking someone into doing something, we have to really look inwards and ask ourselves, what's our intent? Is this for God, or is this out of our own spite or selfishness? And as someone who has struggled with saying no to things and the guilt that comes from feeling like disappointing people or not living up to expectations that people have of me, but also feeling like I have a gift to be able to encourage people in what they do and the things that God has for them, although it is small and I still have years of prayer and practice ahead of me, there's a responsibility to respect a no and know when to back down. And yes, there's a responsibility to the person who is receiving to discern if what has been said has come from God. But there's an even greater responsibility to the person who is of a position of power and authority to know when they need to stop, because they're no longer speaking for God's glory, but instead their own. So, the gift of exhortation. Yeah, I'm wrapping up already, proper short. The gift of exhortation, it's a big one, and I have no idea why they entrusted it to me to unpack, and I've probably done a pretty shoddy job of it, but if there's anything you can take away from this, it is this. Go out and encourage people, counsel them, preach to them, but do it all in God's love. Remember that there is a fine line between encouragement and pressure. And if your intent doesn't fall in line with the word of God, it might not be coming from a pure heart. But hey, if you're struggling to discern whether it's from God or not, just remember, what would Jesus do? That was so cheesy, but we love it. And yeah, Rick's gonna come up and he's gonna pray.
Thank you for listening. If you want to respond or talk through anything in this preach, please feel free to email hello@stphillips.org.uk, and we would love to help you in any way we can. God bless you.